This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Last week will go down as one of the hottest in recent years, following a string of days in which the heat index went well north of 100 degrees, at one point hitting 117 in parts of Illinois. At least we've come a long way from the heat wave of 1995, in which more than 700 people died here. Air conditioning might have been the first line of defense for many of us to stay cool, but with rising energy costs, it might have been painful to turn it on and hear it run and run and run. But addressing this situation does not have to rest on the individual or on burning carbon to meet our energy demands. According to a new study from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, there are steps that cities can take in order to mitigate the effects of extreme heat. It would require introducing more green spaces, trees, tall vegetation, and the like, which would allow more opportunities for shade, which in turn can make spaces up to 20 degrees cooler. Joining me now to talk more about the study is one of the professors who helped put it together. Fong Fong is teaching assistant professor in urban and regional planning in the U of I's College of Fine and Applied Arts. Professor Fong, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
And listeners, you can join our conversation today, as ever, at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So I thought maybe we could begin with a definition. How do you define a green space?
That's a great question. I think the green space can be defined in many different ways depending on your discipline. But well, as a planner, I'll say the green space is a region, a wide range of vegetation out there. It could be trees, can be grassland, it can be shrubs. So typically the green space in urban settings can be parks, gardens, or even street trees, but sometimes not necessarily to be agricultural crop fields.
Okay, so parks, gardens, trees. What makes a green space better or worse from the perspective we're talking about?
I think sometimes people simply say more coverage, more canopy coverage is a good thing, but I would say like anything, like we said before, the vegetation here, the grassland, the garden, the trees, they all include it as a part of the urban greenery system. One thing is trying to evaluate them in numbers, like the coverage we have in the city, but another way is trying to make sure these are high quality and well-maintained green space in the city and making sure the works well to provide environmental benefits to all the citizens here.
Interesting. High quality and well maintained. Why is that important for what we've been talking about?
Oh, thanks for your question. I think typically when we're saying we need more green space, we need more trees in the city, it's not, as I said, not purely about the number. We're making sure these trees, this urban greenery also taken care of, because based on my research, I found out the distribution of the trees are not even in the city. And at the same time, their growing conditions, their health, are also not evenly distributed throughout the space. We need taking care of all these trees. So making sure these trees are in good conditions to provide us certain functions to reduce the temperature and to filter the air.
Interesting. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the study then. How did you conduct it? What did you look at?
Interesting question. So here we go. So I'm more interested in monitoring the dynamics of the spatial and temporal dynamics of urban green space. So we started evaluating, quantifying how many trees we have there and what are their growing conditions. Our study site located in Washington, D.C. And then we figured out that the environmental factors, especially for urban heat, is playing a significant role impacting the growing conditions of all the trees. So we figured out that it's essential for us to know that maintaining a well, high quality green space in the city is very necessary, both providing us aesthetic or cultural values, but also give us the environmental benefits here.
I'm curious how you actually go about this study. I'm picturing you walking around with a clipboard or going around on a bicycle or using satellite imagery and a little more sophisticated techniques.
Yeah, that is so true. So here we pair everything, like we use the satellite imageries and pair them with the street tree inventory from Washington, D.C. and then trying to evaluate how many trees we have, what species we have, and what are their growing conditions here. And then we go from there and figure it out. Some neighborhoods, they have some places in the city, they have low quality and less maintained green space versus some part of the city, they have more higher quality greenery system and well-maintained trees with functioning better in the entire environment.
So I guess it certainly makes sense that if you're standing under a tree, it feels cooler than if you're standing out in the sun. But how does this work sort of on a citywide level, on a systemic level, at improving these, you know, our response to these extreme heat days we're seeing more of?
Yeah, that is a great question. When we're talking about the benefits we can bring from all these trees, of course you can feel the difference standing on an unshaded surface versus standing right beneath a tree, which provides you ample shading here. So I think a lot of benefits we can get from a systematic urban greenery system here. The first thing of all, we can have climate mitigation adaptation, like how we drop down the temperatures more than 20 or more Fahrenheit. You can feel much cooler than the unshaded surfaces. It also can help us to filter air and water, prevent flooding, conserve energy, and reduce cooling cost. At the same time, since they bring us such benefit, they can also impact our health and well-being, promote physical and mental health benefits. So, especially for people who have health concerns as heat stroke or heart attack, providing more shade is going to give them a higher chance to be less vulnerable to these illness, and also going to such space going to engage entire community, give them more opportunity to go outdoor and also promote more environmental interactions. So overall, I think providing more urban greenery and string trees, for example, can also help us to promote biodiversity and habitat for other creatures here too. So we have, it is more like a natural-based solution to respond to climate change. Think about not only yourself, think about your pets and think about other creatures like birds in our cities. And I'll say this is the great option we have. Again, not only to add aesthetic values, but also they're going to do a lot of benefits here for everyone.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder if there's a, what would the phrase be, a double-edged sword for all these additional trees, because I know some communities in central Illinois saw the downside of having a lot of older trees, and maybe you'd say they're not well-maintained. But this past summer, there were a lot of trees that fell on power lines, and that caused a lot of problems. Is there any downside, as you see it, to potentially adding trees throughout a city? Or does this go back to that question of the health of the trees you were talking
mm-hmm,
about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for the question. I think me and Professor Andrew Grunley here, also from the University of Illinois, we conducted research, and we figured out the importance of having more trees in the city to help us survive, to try to slow down or ultimately improve the situation to have extreme weathers. While I do understand it takes money and takes effort to get more trees, to making sure these trees are taken care of, but on the other side, I think it really worth effort because then it brings more benefits to us. It sounds like not a quick solution here, but actually there's a way more long-term benefits gonna benefit us, also future generations, make it more sustainable in this case. From one aspect, I'll see this here is we need more people. Like, it's not just a problem for urban foresters, but it's also a thing for planners, for all the practitioners, also a reminder to private owners, like how we can use the trees, shrubs, and other green infrastructures help us lower down the temperature. And it's built such awareness of public health infrastructures. At some point, I will see this also provide some job opportunities as well. In the long run, I think bringing more trees, I know a lot of trees gonna fall down. That's why we're trying to use more technologies here as development of GIS and remote sensing. Recently, we wish to have more effective way to monitoring, to track the growing conditions of all these trees and trying to save money and save effort, but at the same time, bring more benefits.
Interesting. GIS for our listeners is geographic information systems, remote sensing. I know that's one of your areas of academic interest. What else, what should cities be considering, right? When people go to their local government and say, I want more green space. What should cities be doing when they are looking to design or upgrade their green spaces?
Oh, thanks for your question. That's a great one. So here, we wish our research on exploring the urban green space is like it's not just the public agencies or decision makers are into taking care of all the trees, but also private owners. Think about the trees on the street. Think about trees in your backyard. So all these count together as bringing more benefits towards everyone. So as a planner or as an urban forester here, I will say, of course, we wish to bring more trees, but that means we can plant trees everywhere because we're under a certain policies, under a certain way to build our city. We have to consider other factors as well. So it seems like the problem becomes more complex compared with our original intention here. But anyway, I'll say we wish to bring more green space while maintaining the green space in the public area as also in the private land as well to build awareness, to help them out, to not only give opportunities to where it's requested, but also bring opportunity to where it's needed. Especially, I think more attention will be prioritized, more green space in the regions with vulnerable population. For example, in such heat wave period, I would care more about outdoor workers, homeless, athletes, elderly, and the kids in the city. And these are, I think, the people we should focus on more, especially in terms of their access to urban green space.
Yeah, the more vulnerable, as you said, the older people, kids, homeless. Do you think green spaces, are they going to become more of a necessity than sort of a benefit or a recommendation at some point?
Yeah, from my perspective, I think promoting more green, urban green space interventions definitely gonna bring us more benefits, and that can see the trend in the future. We're trying to build our city in a more sustainable way. You know, urban settings, a lot of people live in urban settings, but actually want to build a city more like a natural environment. We're not making sure everyone can survive, but everyone have a high quality life. So that's why we're bringing more opportunities here, more space, more well-maintained green space here as a future of the city. At the same time, you also want to consider the future of the cities in terms of our land use and how people travel every day. When I'm making sure this environment, this sustainable environment, is available, accessible, and feasible for the city and for everyone.
I think I can get one more question in. We had a voicemail come in just in the last few minutes. Linda from Marion said, green spaces are wonderful, trees are wonderful, but it takes a long time for a tree to gain maturity. What are the other alternatives? What can we do in the short term?
Okay, I love that question. That seems a great one. Yeah, I do see the challenges here, and the challenges here bringing more trees here because typically the trees gonna take time to grow. But I do appreciate the shade provided by the tree. One quick solution here is I would recommend some fast-growing trees in the city, which might take around a few years, 2 or 3 years to grow up, to provide us ample shading, like poplars or sycamores here. Again, I think the wall design, so that's why I recommend, sort of in the long run, building up a wall design, the green space, especially along the street, can give us a great opportunities here, provide ample shading by promoting fast-growing trees. And also some other solutions, like we can consider like providing access to ACs, cooling centers, that could be more more solutions we can provide here, trying to mitigate the heat impact.
All right. Professor Fong is teaching assistant professor in urban and regional planning at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Professor Fong, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, plastics are everywhere in our society, including in our water. But there are people working to put a stop to that, such as Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Plus, there's a new exhibit on water and plastics at Illinois' own Museum of Science and Industry. We'll be talking about that tomorrow on the 21st show, as well as a conversation with an expert about the state of our economy in Illinois, across America, and around the world. That's all coming up next time on the 21st show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. You can find a podcast of our show anywhere you get your podcasts. We're on Apple, Spotify. Just search for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.